Yeah. There it is. Hour number three of the Rob Brown Show starts now. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Fan Upstate Spectacular to have you. Happy Monday. Overreaction Monday. Ladies and gentlemen, I want, I need, I must have your biggest overreactions from the weekend. The Renewal by Anderson of the Carolinas Fan Phone is open at 844-FANFONE. That's 844-326-3663. 844-326-3663. Give us a ball. Give us a call.
No, you don't. You don't really need the ball.
Give us a call on the Fan Phone and hit us up. What is your biggest overreaction from the weekend? Lonzo, what is your biggest overreaction from the weekend?
Wow, you just threw that out to me. Overreaction. Okay. Them Tigers going to win the national championship. There you go. There's my biggest overreaction from the weekend.
Okay, but like a legitimate one. Like an actual one. Because you've never said that in your life.
First of all, sure I have. When they actually won the national championship, they were good enough to do that. And an overreaction is an overreaction. Why can't an overreaction be about somebody else's team? Why does it only have to be about your team?
I mean, it doesn't.
But you're kind of saying that. All right, the New Orleans Saints are going to win the Super Bowl.
Hell yeah!
There we go.
Let's go! Just hit them all. 47 points in a divisional game. LFG, baby. I don't feel that way. I want to, but I don't feel that way.
Well, if you did, that would be an overreaction.
It would be.
Which is what you asked me for.
All right, what is your fandom, Armada? What is your biggest overreaction from the weekend? James says Eagles-Chiefs Super Bowl rematch. I don't have an issue with the Chiefs half of that equation.
I was waiting for the disrespect. All right.
But here's the thought. This is why I'm not going to jump on board with the Eagles side. They beat the Packers 34-29 on Friday. A game we haven't gotten to yet, by the way. 34-29, Eagles knock off the Packers down in Sao Paulo, Brasilia. Jordan Love, 17-34, 260, two touchdowns and a pick. Jalen Hurts, 20-34, 278, two touchdowns, two picks in this game. Saquon, 24 carries, 109 yards, two touchdowns in that game. Pretty good showing overall.
Wait a minute. Saquon Barkley plays for Philadelphia now?
Yeah, of course. Noted New York Giant Saquon Barkley racked up. You got to think that, like, Dave Gettleman was sitting in his office somewhere Friday night like, you got to be kidding me. Because Saquon popped. Here's going to be why I'm not ready to jump on. But it is overreaction. That's why I asked for it. Here's why I'm not going to jump on the Eagles overreaction. I don't think the Packers are as good as everybody wants them to be.
I already said that. Yeah. So I think I had them finish last or close to it.
I don't think they're going to be as good. I think everybody looked at the last seven games of the year last year from Jordan Love. And do not get me wrong. They were a good seven-game stretch. But I also think that was a Jordan Love that popped onto the scene. And I can't tell you how much, at least to me, in my ever so humble opinion, I can't tell you how much I believe that when there is no tape on a quarterback, it's that much easier for that quarterback to succeed. And I think that was to some. That's not to say I think Jordan Love's not a good quarterback. I do. I think there's still room for growth. Even with sitting behind Aaron Rodgers, I still think there's room for growth for Jordan Love. And I think you will see that as we move forward. But I don't think the Packers are going to. And by the way, Josh Jacobs, 16 carries, 84 yards. I mean, it's a good day, but it ain't a great day. 32 of those came on run. He went 15 for 50 the rest of the time. Jordan Reed was a revelation. Jaden Reed, a revelation. Four catches, a buck 38, and a touchdown. But, like, outside of that, where's the go for the Packers? Well, I don't have it.
Minnesota's destroying that division.
Okay, let's not go bananas. They beat the Giants.
Did you see?
I did see.
We're still overreacting, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Okay, all right.
Like Carlos with a K. Carlos with a K. I miss Carlos with a K. We got to get him in here one day. I know he's working literally right now, but I need Carlos with a K back up in here.
Stole our bit, and that bothers me. It just does. It just
You're an influencer.
Yeah, well, anyway.
You're an influencer.
And the last couple of times I worked with him, he was late, including one where he had to rent a bike, and he's calling and had to put him on the air while he's on the bike, which is pretty entertaining.
That is entertaining.
But that he couldn't find a spot for the bike. He was not happy.
James says Carlos with a K with an incredible promo. It was. Sometimes very short promos are the most effective.
It's a work.
Right? Sometimes they're the most effective.
It's a work.
Like when Roman beat Undertaker, got in the ring, and just stood there for 13 minutes eating booze, and then went, it's my yard now, and right, left. Incredible.
Right. Here's why this is a work.
It's not. So no, not no, everything's no. a work.
Can I finish?
The G-Men are furious. They suck.
Here's why it's a work. They already knew they sucked. Like, he expected something different when he went in there. Come on. I mean, I get fandom, but there's got to be a little bit of reality in the back of your head. It's a work. Ain't no way he thought it would be any different than that.
I don't think you have emotions. I think maybe you're the robot you accuse me of being all
really?
The time.
Really?
You have never gone into a year knowing your team was. I mean, obviously, it's been a very long time. Noted Kansas City / Ohio State Buckeye fan Lonzo, but you've never gone into a team into a season with low expectations for your team, but you're still a fan. You still expect them to be, I don't know, competent. They weren't even competent.
Let's see. My high school team, we won one game my senior year. My college team that I was on, we won zero games. Okay? So I don't know where that is in the emotional spectrum, but I know what bad is. That's all I'm saying.
I know what bad is. Wait. Texter says, biggest overreaction. I am ashamed that I made my kids Panther fans, and it borderline makes me want to go get a gallon of milk so I don't have to go home and watch them cry. They really did, because we got thrashed this week. That's from UNC Chris. Chris, do not go to the corner store to pick up cigarettes. Your kids need you,
no,
all right?
No, you said milk, dude. I mean, come on. Dude.
Yeah, I know, but the trope
is... Don't throw other vices on them.
The trope is whatever you went down to the corner store to get and then never came back. Chris, your kids need you more than ever. It's okay. Hey, you can come be a Saints fan.
Wow, you read went a totally different direction there.
What do you think that statement means?
He was trying to avoid going home. He wasn't talking about leaving forever.
Yeah, that's what that joke, that's the long-running trope of a joke. His dad went to get milk from the store and never came back.
Text us back and tell us that Rob's wrong.
I'm not wrong. That's literally a joke that has been in movies for a billion years.
Yeah, but that's not what he was saying.
Yeah, it absolutely is.
It's not even for a second.
That's what that metaphor means.
That's a good dad right there. Why would you accuse him of not being a good dad?
That's literally what that metaphor means.
The one you said, but that's not what he said.
It's the same thing. He just said milk instead of cigarette. Whatever. The point is.
You know what?
Chris said I'm running out of my kids.
If I was a robot, he did not say that. If I was a robot, I wouldn't have had that. Semi-heated exchange with you right there.
Texter said, overreaction. Joe Burrow is cooked and the Bengals season is already over.
See, that's a true overreaction.
That is a true overreaction.
Because they pointed out how Joe Burrow has only won like one opener in the last 4 or 5 years since he's been there.
That is an overreaction.
He loses openers, apparently.
Now, I'll tell you why it's an overreaction, not just because he loses openers, apparently. It is an overreaction because it takes, I think, consideration away from everything else that's going on with that team. You had one of your top two receivers, T. Higgins, out with a hammy. You had your other receiver, Ja'Marr Chase, those two guys are Joe Burrow's offense through the air, okay? Both of those cats not out because Chase suited up. Chase practiced what? One day? One day he practiced.
Yeah, I think it was one day.
One day.
And I think they weren't even hitting that day, so...
He practiced one day, and it was not even like a full football practice.
It was probably one of those walkthrough practices. Yeah.
So my reaction to this is going to be the reason that it is an overreaction, and I appreciate it, but the reason that's an overreaction is because he didn't have his top two guys. One of his top two, I'm saying he didn't have his top two. Ja'Marr Chase practiced one day. He was rusty. Did not go through camp. Did not go through game week practice. Didn't go through any of those things. Of course he was going to come out looking like crap, right? It just wasn't that guy. T. Higgins out. Don't get me wrong. I still expected a win because I think that the Patriots, who are 1-0, are the worst team in the NFL this year. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't think I am. I don't think I am.
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, according to records, they're not, at least at the moment.
They're I think they're cooked, but dude, they are 1-0.
That was bad for them.
I bet the under on the win total of 4, and I still might be wrong. All right, we'll see. But number one, Cincinnati never comes out of the gate strong. And number two, they came out of the gate. And oh, by the way, we're talking about the fact that Ja'Marr Chase was hampered. T. Higgins did not play. Let's also point out that that's the first football Joey B has played in a year and a half. Week five last year, week six last year, he went out. Joey B hadn't played football in almost a complete year, a full speed NFL game. So this is, and don't get me wrong, this is why I said in hour number one, today is my favorite day, because today is the overreactionist of all overreaction Mondays. Today is the biggest knee-jerk reaction. We are all looking for what it is that we can learn from week one, and the reality is not a lot, because a lot of teams that played in the preseason, like they're in a good spot. Playing teams that did not play at all in the preseason, or teams that played very little. Bryce Young of the Panthers played one series in the preseason. This is not what their offense is going to look like at the end of the year.
If you've looked at the NFL since they eliminated the other preseason game, the first couple of weeks of play is always a little sluggish like this.
Yeah.
Before guys get used to playing again, especially the guys, like you mentioned, who don't play at all in preseason. They get out there and they're going up against full contact, real full contact, not practice contact, for the first time.
Yeah, that's it. It is going to take some time for 32 of 32 NFL teams to find their stride. Yeah, I'm saying every one of them. And I include the Chiefs, that I think are, just so we're clear, going to get better. I think the same thing for the Ravens. They're going to be better than they looked in one. Philadelphia Eagles, Green Bay Packers on Friday night. Hell of a game. First two games of the season were bangers. First two games of the season.
Not to mention last night.
Last night, Detroit, LA, phenomenal overtime contest. Both those teams are going to get... It is the most overreaction-y overreaction Monday, okay? Doesn't mean we're not going to talk about it, but I think if you are declaring the Bengals dead, you might want to hold your horses. Give Ja'Marr Chase a full week or two to get up to speed. Give T. Higgins time to come back. Joey B.A. played football in 48 weeks. Give him time, and I think this team's going to be fine. Am I going to say win the division? No, Baltimore's right there.
All right, so overreaction. I have another one, and I hinted at this earlier. The Carolina Panthers will have the number one pick in the NFL draft and will pick a quarterback.
I am going to agree that is an overreaction. And I'm going to agree it's an overreaction for a couple of reasons. Number one, I don't think they're going to have the number one overall pick. Again, I think that, yes, the Panthers had the worst week one of any team in the NFL. Is that an overreaction? I don't think
no,
so.
No, that's...
I think that's a dead-on statement of fact. Exactly. Objectively true. Worst weekend... of the NFL. But the thing is, somebody's got to. Somebody's going to have the worst weekend. It happened to be you in this week. And to expect the team that was the worst in the NFL last year not to look like the worst in the NFL this year, or week one of this year, when you have a new head coach / offensive coordinator, a quarterback who, yeah, it's year two, but look at what the Panthers were last year, all right? An entirely new wide receiver. I know there are guys on the team, Adam Thielen, John Mingo, that were there already, but Deontay Johnson, first year. And by the way, it's not just first year. Deontay was not wide receiver one in Pittsburgh. Never has been. So it's his first year as the X. New spot, new team. Which moves Adam Thielen back to a three. Now it's a spot Adam Thielen grew up in, right? Grew up in, but he didn't play it last year, so he hadn't played a three in 2 years at the three. At the two, you've got a rotation of guys. Xavier Leggett, John Mingo, guys that are either new to the team or new to being consistent starters. Like, the whole wide receiver core is new. Your line is new. You got two new guys plus one guy who moved from an old position to a new one. Across your starting five, three of them are playing either new positions or for a new team for the first time. And defensively, you got to figure out how to do it without Brian Burns. You got to add Jadeveon Clowney. You've got a defensive backfield that is basically brand new. Of course, it was going to look terrible.
What did we expect when they were going up against that juggernaut known as the New Orleans Saints? I mean, how can you possibly compete with that team?
Derek Carr's first ballot future Hall of Famer, man. I done tried to tell y'all. Y'all thought I was playing the whole time. Jokes aside, what did I tell you about Derek Carr? I do not think that people recognize how good this cat is. That's not putting him in the class with Mahomes and Jackson and Allen. I'm not at all. But if Derek Carr has time, that first pass to Shahid down the gut. I mean, a dime. That pass can maybe be thrown like 1% better. That's it. Derek Carr, statistically speaking, is one of the most efficient. Not electric, not exciting, but one of the most efficient quarterbacks in the NFL. And when you're getting zero pass rushing, that is a big problem, right? Because that was the whole thing. Brown and Clowney are supposed to be your boys. They're supposed to. There was no pass rush. None. I don't think the Saints gave up a sack in this game. I don't think Derek Carr, very, very infrequently did he feel pressure. If that's the way it's going to work, yeah, it is going to be a long year, right? That's got to get fixed. That's got to get cleaned up. And I will say, if there's a coach on the sideline that after that game I'm looking at with a raised eyebrow, it's Ejiro Evero, a guy I really like. A guy I think's a year away from being a head coach, but not if his defense is going to look like that. I got DBs getting blown out of the water on the opening drive again. If this happened and it was a bunch of Saints touchdowns in the third, late third, early fourth quarter, you'd be like, all right, well, you held them until you didn't anymore. It was 30-3 at halftime, right? I'm not putting that on the offense yet. That's an overreaction. All right, 844-326-3663. You call in, give us your biggest overreaction. Text us 71307. Start your text with FAN, F-A-N, FAN, F-A-N. We'll read your biggest overreactions on the air as well. When we come back, the audio blitz, some of my favorite audio from social media over the weekend. That's coming up on the Rob Brown Show in the FAN Upstate. The most overreaction of overreaction Mondays is week one of the NFL season. Looking for your overreactions. The renewal by Anderson to the Carolinas fan phone open for you. 844-FANFONE. That's 844-326-3663. The text line is open. It's 71307. 71307. Got a couple more overreactions on the text line during the break. Texter says, Rob, overreaction. Caleb Williams is a bust number one pick. Yes, he's played a game. Granted, didn't look great.
Did he play in that game?
Pretty bad.
Yeah.
Not great, Bob. I'd also say it's game one. See, this is what I am talking about when I say that Nick Saban was right. The worst thing that happens for rookie quarterbacks is when they are thrown in week one with ridiculous expectations. I think Caleb Williams is going to be good. I've never said I think he's a future first ballot Hall of Famer like Derek Carr. I just think he's going to be good. He could be great, but I think he's going to be good. But he's played 1 week. He's played 1 week, and he played very little in the preseason as a rookie on top of all of it. Like, this is one of those spots, and I'm saying the same thing about Bryce Young, and I'm saying the same thing about everybody else. I think what happens is people look at the expectations and then go, well, if this is the expectation, obviously that's the way he'll put it. It's going to take time.
Do you hear somebody on the radio and you disagree with their take so bad that you root against a person just so that person will be wrong?
I 100% believe that that is the case with a lot of it. I also believe that because I have social media, as much of a cesspool as it is sometimes, I also believe that there are people, and I mean this, who want to see Caleb Williams fail because he paints his fingernails. Not kidding.
I don't want him to fail. I just want him to look kind of bad for a while just so you'll be wrong. So, I mean,
that's fair. It's not like your own executive producer trying to take you down. I get it.
Yeah, I get it. I'm executive producer for two stations. I do not belong to you.
Okay, who does? Who's my executive producer then? I just have a executive producer.
You don't have one. I don't know why we're having this fight, but you don't.
Oh, I don't have one.
You don't have a personal executive producer.
Gotcha.
No, you do not.
Gotcha. So you're temporary. What are we doing here?
I'm on air personality. It says so on
gotcha.
The sheet. You saw it. You saw.
I didn't see that.
You did see it. I made sure you saw it like four or five times, and you still forgot.
No, I ignored. Texas said overreaction Monday. Deshaun Watson was horrible. The Browns need to bring back Flacco.
Is that really an overreaction, though?
No, he stunk.
He's pretty bad.
You know what? I'll give you. I've got the audio blitz coming up here in a little while. But since we're hearing it, is a bit of a short segment because we got John Blau from the Post and Courier. So we'll do the audio blitz at 9 a.m. straight up on the dot. John Fanta is a broadcaster out of Cleveland, works for Fox Sports, also works on the Big Ten Network, also covers the Cleveland Browns. John Fanta was so frustrated with Deshaun Watson that immediately after the game in which the Cowboys thrashed the Cleveland Browns, you wanted another overreaction? Oh, the Dallas Cowboys are a dominant football team. Easy. I will say that there are very few teams that I look at and went, that's a result of you being bad. The Cleveland Browns and Deshaun Watson were one of them.
By the way, Dak got paid and then Dak played.
And then Dak did good things.
Yeah, which usually doesn't happen after someone gets paid.
Here's what John Fanta had to say. Accept reality. I love that. My man straight up turned into a Marvel villain for the last couple of seconds of that clip. It ain't happening. Accept reality. I love it. I feel the frustration, bud. I feel the frustration. That's pretty gnarly. He's not wrong. That was pretty bad. Let's see. Wesley said, I don't think it was DW4's fault, honestly. They drew up short screenplays 90% of the time. Yes, Wesley, but why? With Kevin Stefanski, who I believe is a two-time NFL Coach of the Year, if I recall correctly, why were they drawing up 90% screenplays? Do you think that's because they're just, I don't know, do you think that's just because they're dumb? Or was that maybe because right now that's all they trust Deshaun Watson with? Because for me, it's the latter. Guys, he had Lonzo, a 2.6 air yards per completion average. That means every time Deshaun Watson threw the football, it averaged 2.6 yards before a receiver caught it. That takes yak out of the equation. It is just a measure of where's the quarterback finding open guys. And the answer was 2.6 yards down the field on average. Yeah, that's real bad. That's real bad. I don't know what to tell you there. Like, it's just, it's not a good look in that spot. I'll give you one more overreaction. It's not an overreaction. Bo Nix ain't the guy. Now, I'm going to play you a short clip here. It's only about 20 seconds. I'm playing it for 1 second. See if you can find it. Here's Bo Nix in the fourth quarter, 5:36. The Broncos down two scores, but they do have all their timeouts. A score here, it's a one-score game with a chance to win, and Bo Nix goes like this. My favorite part of that clip was Adam Archuleta going, oh no. And the reason that my favorite part of that clip was Adam Archuleta going, oh no, Lonzo, was very simply because the ball was still in the air. The ball was not even halfway to its target yet. Not even halfway there. And Adam Archuleta goes, oh no. The pick was evident from the second it left his hands, and Adam Archuleta drops the newest addition to the Rob Brown Show soundbite play roster. Oh no, that's just incredible. I don't know why I needed to add to my. See, now it's just not adding. I have it saved. I just can't wait. Oh, and it's not gonna play. Oh no! Anyway, that's just fantastic. He's cooked.
You can clip your own self saying "oh no," I suppose.
Oh no! I don't want that. I want Adam Archuleta saying "oh no." I don't know why it won't go in there. It's so good, so good. All right. Wesley said, no, I get that, but why keep him as the starting quarterback if that's all you trust him as? Is it really because you paid him too much and are embarrassed to admit it? Okay, that sounds right now that I'm saying it. Yes, Wesley. I should call you Yestly because you finally got it. That's it.
Was he talking about Bryce Young?
No, he's talking about DW4.
Oh, okay.
Who, if we're being real, which of those contracts would you rather have if the quarterback came with it? Bryce's or Deshaun's?
Yeah, Bryce's.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly right. All right. Let's run to a break. When we come back, we will be joined on the show by our guy, John Blau, reporter, covers the Clemson Tigers for the Post and Courier. Let's break down a 66-20 win over the Appy State Mountaineers. That's coming up next on the Rob Brown Show. That's coming up next on the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show continues. It is the Fan Upstate. The Clemson Tigers off a 66-20 win over the Appalachian State Mountaineers. There were some questions about this team after the loss to Georgia. Those questions may be answered. We'll see when they stack it up for ACC game number one in 2 weeks against the NC State Wolfpack. Let's break that game down and get you set for that Wolfpack game as we welcome into the show every Monday at 8:40 a.m. John Blau covers the Clemson Tigers for the Post and Courier. John, welcome back to the show. I suspect the mood for those of you covering the Tigers was a bit elevated on Sunday morning.
I mean, we're even keeled regardless. They win or lose, it doesn't change our job. But as far as, yeah, the fan base, I think the fan base is certainly charged. Obviously, coming off that loss to Georgia, it was really depressing, only scoring 3 points. And then you go and you put 56 up at a half, which is a program record. Kate Klubnik throws for almost 400 yards in a half. That kind of puts a lot of anxieties to rest. So, yeah, I think the mood's a little different in Clemson right now.
I would say so. John, what would you think is the biggest difference we saw between the Georgia game and the App State game? Because there's a lot of theories floating around. One is that, hey, Georgia's just that good. This team may not give up a touchdown until they play Alabama. There is the thought that maybe this was the week that Garrett Riley really had full control of the offense and was able to open up the way he wants to. If I ask you what you think the biggest difference is from week one to two, what would you say it was?
I mean, obviously it's a little bit of both, I would say. I mean, obviously Georgia's very, very good, and the gap between Georgia's defense and App State's defense is something we're going to figure out over the course of the year. Obviously don't have a great context on kind of how good the Mountaineers actually are on that side of the ball. If it maybe it was a little bit easier to kind of get guys open and find space. But then also just obviously Clemson just playing way better. I mean, not making mistakes, having a guy like Bryant West go out there for the first time, who's stretching defenses. Kate Klubnik really comfortable in the pocket, looked very calm because he's protected really well by his offensive line. He's able to sit back there and complete 24-26. And then, you know, popping off big explosive plays. I mean, I think Clemson had 15, I think they had 3 plays of 15 or more yards in the Georgia game. The longest went for 36 yards. I mean, they had plays of 76, 51, 83, like, you know, in the first 3 series. And so to see them kind of create explosive plays, put points on the board real quick, obviously a very different dynamic, able to get momentum that they couldn't get in the Georgia game. Yeah, again, whether, you know, Georgia and App State, there's just like a giant chasm between them. And obviously, you know, the level of difficulty was a little different. Possibly, but I think obviously Clemson just executed a lot better as well, and that's why you get 56 points and a half.
It felt to me, John, like after the first quarter, a first quarter in which 35 points were scored. I shouldn't even say after the first quarter. It felt to me after the first drive, like there was a different feeling, a different mentality out of the fellas on the field. Forget the fans and the coaches and all that. Like, it looked like this team had finally settled in and clicked a little bit. Do you think that is something that, I mean, obviously they can build off of, but do you feel like this team maybe walked into the locker room on Sunday to look at tape and thought to themselves, this is it? I mean, I know it's hard to gauge the mentality of players, but from us watching this team on Saturday night, it looked like the Clemson Tigers of 2018.
Yeah, I mean, they came out of the Georgia game, and obviously it sounds odd hearing Kate Klubnik and Tristan Lee say this, but they felt more confident about their team coming out of that game than they did going in. At least that's what they said, just because they felt like they saw opportunities in there that they didn't take advantage of. And again, physically didn't feel overwhelmed, just they didn't execute. And so they knew if they executed, we absolutely have the guys to be able to, you know, score points. And, you know, I think Kate Klubnik said it after the App State game, just came in relaxed, more relaxed than he's ever been. They all did. I think they all kind of had a certain confidence to them that this is a, you know, day we can kind of go off and do what they did. And obviously to be able to throw a deep ball like Klubnik does to Wesco, we haven't seen Klubnik really hit a guy in stride deep like that in a while. I mean, he's often short-arming them, just not quite getting them out there. But then to connect on that first play, I think that's just such a huge confidence builder. To right off the bat have just something that big. And I'm sure that got him excited, got him really kind of, you know, into the game, feeling like they, you know, were back, kind of, sort of. And then you have, you know, obviously that big, you know, run by Mafah, and it's just, again, it all just kind of builds on it, on itself. And so I think that they came into the game with a good mentality. They obviously developed kind of a lot of confidence throughout that game, and it's huge going into a bye week to kind of have that confidence for another week and then go into the ACC opener against NC State when you're obviously, you know, the ACC season is just so important in this expanded playoff world that we're in. If you have a good ACC season, you win the ACC championship, you're automatically in, you get a bye. So I think they feel really good about where they're at right now, and obviously put that Georgia game like way in the rearview mirror.
Way in the rearview mirror. John Blau from the Post and Courier joining us here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Talk to me about said receivers. We had Cade Klubnik tell us on this show a couple of times he expected Bryant Wesco Jr. to be a name that is household by the end of the season. Jake Brenningstuhl, I was almost disappointed he wasn't involved more in the offense in that Georgia game. Cole Turner had a handful of catches. Antonio Williams got involved. This receiving core looked like a different set. How much of that would you say was due to progression from week one to week two? Every college coach ever is going to tell you the most progression you'll see out of a team is from week one to week two, versus how much of this was a change in schematics for the Clemson passing game to scheme guys open? Because I was looking at it, I thought I was seeing a little bit more complicated patterns, a little bit more complicated tactics in terms of streaming, in terms of you know, scheming guys open as opposed to just relying on them to get themselves open using pure athleticism. It felt to me like the pass game turned a corner specifically in regards to the wide receivers.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to do a very, very deep dive study to tell you if the patterns were that different. I mean, it seemed like they've been running, you know, go routes or, you know, some of those deep routes that Wesco got open on, just haven't really been open, or Klubnik hasn't pulled the trigger, or Den hasn't put it out, you know, far enough for them to kind of run under it. I think Wesco changes the dynamic a little bit. That's why, you know, there was all that talk coming in the preseason of, you know, just how different he is. And then to only see him play 12 plays against Georgia, I don't know, maybe they just thought, not quite ready yet, let's give him another week or what it was. But, you know, there was obviously a little disappointment for Clemson fans there. And then just right off the bat, just seeing the way he can get behind a secondary, obviously track the ball the way he did on the second one, the 51-yard reception that sets up the one-yard touchdown. He's a special player. I mean, just has a lot of just innate ability, speed, quickness, range, everything you want in a receiver. And obviously Antonio Williams has been solid the first couple weeks. I mean, he looks like he's really, as you know, the coaches and his teammates have said, just kind of a little bit of a different guy coming in this year. And then you get a guy like TJ Moore also rolling with that 33-yard touchdown reception that he had, again, going into the bye week, getting a lot of experience for him, maybe some confidence. It just changes the dynamic of what you have, and anything more you get from the Tyler Browns, the Cole Turners, obviously Jake Brenningstuhl, a pretty good tight end. You really have a diverse set of weapons, and, you know, Cade Klubnik said it after the game. I mean, he really feels like he can spread the ball around with all these receivers he has, and obviously doesn't have to force it to any one guy. And that's what Moore and Wesco do. It just changed the dynamic a little bit in terms of having more depth, having more ability, and they kind of showed it on Saturday in terms of, you know, really opening things up for Klubnik.
John Blau from the Post and Courier covers the Clemson Tigers, joins us every Monday at 8:40 a.m. All right, John, kind of an open-ended one here. What is the difference between, or what do you see Clemson wanting to carry from this game into NC State? I mean, listen, we had high expectation for Dave Doran's Wolfpack this year. Not a great weekend as they get run by Tennessee, a team that I do think is very, very good. What do you want to see Clemson take from this demo job on App State and kind of carry into that NC State game to make sure that they start the ACC season off with a win?
Yeah, man, I think obviously offensively continue to score points. I mean, that sounds simple, but obviously be able to have that momentum and not really feel like you're, you know, stalling out, having lots of inconsistency, stuff like that. And Dabo Swinney said it, even though obviously the, you know, plays through the air, what caught everybody's attention, it really starts up front. I mean, it's all about that offensive line. protecting Cade Klubnik, being able to establish the running game, get a guy like Phil Mafah going. Obviously, he had 100-something yards, but he really only played like a quarter and a half. And so to be able to get the running game going, protect Klubnik, make sure he's calm there in the pocket, allow him to kind of, survey what's open and kind of hit the open guy and manage the game and not feel like he's forcing it. I mean, I think that's important. And then defensively, I have very little concern other than maybe Peter Woods' health. I mean, we're going to hear more about that. Obviously, he got chop blocked during the game, but defensively, I think Clemson feels pretty good about their ability to stop the run. Obviously, Georgia was able to get some plays in the second half of that game, but I feel pretty good about that defense being able to limit NC State and make it a game where Clemson doesn't have to score 56 points and a half. I mean, if they score in the mid-20s into the 30s, I mean, I think they got a pretty good chance of being a team like NC State. So, yeah, obviously both sides of the ball, trenches are important, especially on the offensive side, just in terms of establishing the run and protecting Cade Klubnik.
Agreed entirely. John Blau covers the Clemson Tigers for the Post and Courier. He joins us here every Monday at 8:40 to break down Tiger football. Next week, we look ahead to the NC State game, a week off to rest and relax for the Tigers before they start ACC play. John, my man, as always, great to have you, buddy. Thank you very much. We will talk to you next week, partner.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Rob.
You got it. John Blau for the Post and Courier. You can follow him on X at John Blau, JON_BLAU. When we come back, the audio blitz, our favorite audio from the weekend, and we continue Overreaction Monday. We will take a look back at the South Carolina game upset on the road at Kentucky. Looked real good to the Gamecocks. We'll hear what Shano had to say and more after Lonzo just pleasures your ear holes with this sports flash.
You're welcome. The second AP college football poll has dropped, and once again, the SEC dominates the landscape. Georgia and Texas hold the top two spots. Ohio State drops to number three. Don't know why, but they did. The only non-SEC team in the top seven spots. Alabama, Ole Miss, Missouri, and Tennessee are 4-7, followed by Penn State, Oregon, and Miami rounding out the top 10. Clemson moves up three spots to number 22, while South Carolina snagged 10 votes, the first tally of the season. The Dallas Cowboys reached an agreement with quarterback Dak Prescott minutes before the Cowboys' opener against Cleveland yesterday. Prescott's new deal is a four-year extension worth $240 million, with $231 million of it guaranteed. Tune in this Saturday at 12:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the Stetson Hatters. It's Furman versus Stetson right here on your home for Paladins football. I don't know what a Hatter is, but I'm going to look it up. The fan upstate.